Hey guys, I am Farmer, and I'm joined here by the one and only DJD. What's going on, D?
Howdy.
And this is a Navcast, and welcome in. Glad to have you guys. Craig's here too. I guess we should acknowledge him. That's kind of like Johnny's thing, you know?
Yeah.
Let's have a moment for Craig.
It sounds like we're at a funeral or something. Like, what? Okay.
All right.
Rip Craig.
I think that was enough. Pyro has some questions right off the bat here, and I think it's mostly Pyro because I'm hot miking because, you know, I have to feel like I'm Johnny today.
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Extra loud, you know. Somebody has to fill those shoes today. Johnny's not here, and this is crazy.
Like, this is Johnny's wild. Yeah, this is the second episode that Johnny's missed.
Yeah, I don't even know how many I've missed at this point. Have you been counting? I know Craig is definitely beating me at this point.
Yes.
I think at least five, maybe six.
You've missed, I think, five. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. Somebody needs to renew that contract or something, you know? That's all I'm saying.
You're just not getting paid enough. That's why you haven't been showing up. Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
I mean, I can't argue
with that. Yeah.
Somebody needs to start a whiteboard with stats. Not a bad idea, Pyro. Not a bad idea. Anyways, we'll go ahead and get to some topics we've all been thinking about.
Like, where have you been, Farmer? Like, that's what everyone wants to know. Yeah,
everybody wants to know. I know. Where have I been? I've been around. So last week we actually took a vacation for a change, and we went to the good old Orange Beach down in my grandparents' hometown. Down there, well, it's close to my grandparents' hometown. Off of they live in Fairhope, in that area, you know, and we go down to, you know, right there off the Gulf, and you know, it's a good time to spend time with family, relax a little bit, and get to see a different view than normal. But it was really good. We got to do some family time, play in the sand. We got to get beaten up by the waves, you know, good stuff. It's just good to kind of get out sometimes. So that's our yearly thing. And it just so happened that it coincided with that Saturday. It usually does. But just be thankful that I'm here for this Saturday. You know, it could have been two Saturdays. Actually, it was two Saturdays. Never mind.
Say, I don't think you're
what I'm talking about. Because we were driving home on that Saturday, so it didn't even matter. I wasn't here. So two Saturdays. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me take a break.
Just and be glad it wasn't two Saturdays. Oh, it was. Okay.
All right. It was two Saturdays. Okay. I mean, you know, what can I say? But it's good to be back. It's glad to be welcome back to the podcast and not feel like I'm being, you know, kicked out, you know, or replaced. Maybe I have been. I don't know at this point. The contract's probably in flux. Who knows? I have no idea what the head, what they're doing. The world may never know. But, you know, with Johnny taking a break, I think I'm in good shoes, you know, to step back in and take back control, you know, or something
sure,
like
that. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you chose the right time to come back for sure.
So speaking of which, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance. So maybe you can like refresh me on some current podcast events, David.
Well, so the PS5 Pro got announced and $700 the week after we talked about it.
My goodness, so, are you kidding me?
That's a stretch, and that's for a digital version, you know, so you have to buy a disc drive if you want that. For an additional like 50 or
that,
so.
Holy cow! Yeah. That is crazy and huge and wow.
Did you not hear about that?
Sony fans
yeah,
out
that's
there?
Wild.
Are there any so, Sony like, fans yeah. left?
So we talked about that a bit last week and everything, and like that was pretty crazy. Microsoft laid off another 650 people. That was sad.
I did see something about that. Unfortunately, where we have more stats and we're seeing more things like this, you know, right off the bat, it's an unfortunate time for developers. I mean, it just seems like a hard time.
It's a really rough market, but a big part of that is because every company like hired up because they thought, hey, there's no way this could fail. We'll continue making exponential amounts of money. And it's like, no, that's not the way the market works. It will rebalance itself. If it goes up a certain amount, it's not just going to continue skyrocketing. It will come back down at some point. It has to. Like, I mean, yeah. So, and no one planned for that.
Yeah. And there's even a basis of like, let's say Marvel, for instance. They have a certain formula. Their formula works. But at some point, I feel like even myself, you know, have not watched as many Marvel films as I used to when they're, you know. It's not like they've really changed. I mean, they've changed some, but still, it's like at some point, things change. Whether you adapt or not, that's one thing. But things will change and you'll have different tastes at different times in your life. You know, things just flux. No matter, you'll be in different places in your life. And I think that's the same thing with the market. You're going to enjoy certain games at certain times and then things are going to change. You're going to see something new that comes out. You want to try that out. And you might go back to it eventually, but, you know, things, you know, you can't always captivate that audience the same way. They need a break sometimes. And then they'll come back, you know, something like that. At least that's how I feel. Sometimes I, even with Halo, I have to take a break every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, it's just a, like, you know, it's kind of a shame that, like, that everything's so cyclical and yet no one, like, has any kind of, like, strategy for dealing with it. And you know, that's kind of where we are, though. I mean, there are some valid, you know, critiques of, like, the huge acquisition, you know, by Xbox of Activision, because that's where those last 650 jobs were cut, or from Activision. Of, like, you know, this really sucks that this particular acquisition led to these jobs being lost. And we don't know for sure that they would have happened otherwise. But ultimately, I mean, I don't know. Time will tell. It's a rough industry to be in with so much influx and everything constantly changing.
There is so much that is changing. And a lot of it, we don't even know what is going behind the scenes, which that makes it a little bit even more frustrating for me too. Like when I'm reading, I'm like, what is really going on? You know, what are they doing? Like one, to address the situation, but also like what games are they developing? You know, what are they... You know, after the merger and everything, you know, obviously there's going to be some changes and things like that. But what can they do to maintain some kind of assurance, you know, to their employees, but also like come out with something that's fresh and new and for the players to play. And, you know, some of the old backlog titles that, you know, Activision or Blizzard or anything that has, I mean, there's still so many that they could pull from and use, and I just want to know what's going on, you know,
like
what IPs are they gonna, I mean, they've got control of this, how are they going to use it now? And I mean
like, hopefully
use it good.
Exactly. Yeah, and I have a lot of hope for that. I do. Maybe it's hopium, maybe it's like misplaced hope at this point, but like time will tell, right? More than anything, because we just, it's so early in that, like, we just have no idea really yet. I like, my hope would be that essentially we'll see all these different, like, Activision studios go back to making, like, AA games, you know, or, like, work on various IPs that Activision owns, as opposed to just being a Call of Duty, like, Overwatch, World of Warcraft machine. That said, last expansion of World of Warcraft is apparently, like, the best expansion they've had in a really long time. So, I mean, like,
you know,
maybe
I've
some
seen
changes,
a lot of people playing it, yeah.
Yeah, maybe some changes have already, like, been in progress that have actually helped with some quality issues, perhaps, or something. But, I mean, like,
am I mistaken, but was Johnny playing that the other day?
He does have it downloaded. I don't know if he's actually...
I think I saw him play it. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I was just on my phone or something like that. You know, the status on the side that they updated here in Discord now, that you can know where what everybody's doing. It's the little spy panel.
And at this point, I feel like, especially since I'm kind of done with Destiny, except for, like, casual, like, I mean, like, I probably owe it a good shot, too. I mean, at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
I mean, when a game's doing something right and developer's doing something right, and I mean, there is no reason I feel that you know, if they start captivating the audience and, you know, bringing it back, why can't we go back to the game that we liked 10 years ago, maybe even 20, you know? Right? If they're doing it right and they've got some really fresh ideas and, yeah.
Well, and say what you want about WoW, but they're constantly innovating. They're constantly, like, you know, kind of refreshing even, like, the stuff that was, right? And remastering it and such and, like, you know, changing gameplay mechanics and taking a few risks there and everything. Like, responding to fan feedback and all that. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the longest living MMO for a reason in terms of that. The longest living mainstream MMO, at least, you know?
And I will say there's something to say about their longevity, for sure, but also, like, being a fan and playing in a universe that you love and being able to continue play, that's something huge. I do love that aspect. You know, say what you will about open world games or games for service. If they, you know, there is that certain element that you can come back to that universe. And there's a lot of content, you know, that you can delve into that universe. And so you may not always be able to, like, play every day if you get burnt out. I get that, granted. But it is really cool to be able to jump into a universe of something that you really enjoy. And there just be, like, so much of it, you know, you can just jump in and there's always some, maybe something new, you know, to just be able to expand on the universe that you really love.
I think that should be the point of live service when it comes down to it, is that it's something that you can come back to and everything. But, like, again, exactly. Like we've talked about a billion times, like, trying to force it on every game is probably a mistake. And no, especially yeah, when it takes definitely, like, priority over story or whatever, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. like, yeah.
Narrative needs to be more important in live service, you know, I think. Yeah. Just a little bit more. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, if you're building this world and it's a live service, I want to know more about it. I want to understand the story. And story-driven games are huge, you know, if you do it right. And that, I mean, that's kind of what I want for Halo when it comes down to it. I mean, they've kind of, like, they've experimented with some of it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, Halo Infinite, say what you will. I mean, I really enjoy the campaign, but there's still things they could have fleshed out. We always come back to this. I get this. You know, it's just Halo's something near and dear to me. But I still want more. And we've talked about this play on the podcast, so
yeah. We
go back on it. But still, that's what I want for any game, anybody who has a fan of something. Yeah. Just to be able to jump in that game and be able to get the most out of it and be able to actually maybe even reference, like, things you wouldn't know, like, prior to playing maybe some of the other, like, single player games, but, like, really delving into the universe just so you, like, almost like a book, you know, like that level of detail, which, granted, you know, can't quite do as much as well as a book, but that's what books are for, you know, to kind of flesh out the rest of it. Right.
Yeah,
there's plenty of room for lots of reading, and there's actually several Halo novels that I haven't read that I really need to get back into. There's some really good titles out there, and not just Halo. I don't know if you guys pay attention. I'm sure you do, David. But there's really, for games, they really do. There's a lot of IPs out there that are fleshing out a lot of good novels for their games. You know. To expand on the universe that you don't get to see in the game, but, like, they have these really cool expanded universes in novels, which are great. Like, I think what Mass Effect does it, Gears does it.
I feel like I could go two ways on that, and it's really, when it comes down to it, I'm going to self-analyze right now, and I guarantee it's because of how Star Wars handled all their legend stuff. That I'm probably like so reticent to get into game lore in books and stuff because they never really took Legends seriously, even when it was a thing, right? Like they had the chronicler who would make sure that like no obvious like you know breaks of canon would happen, but other than that, like I mean, like it was never acknowledged as like part of the official canon, you know? True. And like, I mean, mm-hmm. with books, the problem that I usually have is like that essentially those books, it feels like developers don't have the time, which I think is valid, to like necessarily care too much about the books when they're developing the next game. Right.
True. It makes sense.
So, I mean, like, occasionally you end up with like Halo Reach, you know, which completely and totally contradicts everything that happened in the Halo Reach book, you know, the fall of Reach mm-hmm. by Nyland. And it's like, well, yeah, it's you like, know, I mean, yeah.
I mean, he wrote it first and then they said, you know what? That's not how we want it.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Which is fine. But, I think that they have like the right to do that. And it's cool that they let authors play in their universes and everything. Like, I mean, it's like, it's not fan fiction. It's more official than that, but it's still like, you know, it's still somewhat of a like silver timeline, let's say, when it comes down to it, yeah, compared to,
for sure.
Yeah.
But which is kind of fun though, in a little bit, like if you do it like the way they did it, it wasn't, you know, I still enjoyed both ways, but yeah, it's hard at that point, which is, I guess game is canon at that point, you know, the game narrative is technically canon, but it's like who defines that, you know? I guess the developer kind of does, but still it's right. Just like,
and that's what it reader, well, that's what it comes down like, to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, which one's the true way? Hey, you sent me something on Warhammer. What do you know about it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, before we get away from this, like, I wanted to talk uh-huh. about another like story-based game that was turned mm-hmm. into live service that like doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. Concord. So allegedly,
man.
I mean, I don't know that I fully believe this, but we'll see. Like, allegedly, Colin Moriarty, you know who he is? He does like one of the more popular like PlayStation podcasts. Okay. And so like apparently, according to his sources, that game cost over $400 million over $400 million to make. And they were gonna call it the future of PlayStation, essentially. All their eggs were in that basket. They were completely planning on it being like a pillar of like that was my reaction to that. Was like, ooh, like that's a rough thing to happen there.
You know, PlayStation has always struggled with their whole multiplayer, so I'm sure they're like, yeah, let's go. We got this. And it's too bad what's happened. Honestly, I just can't believe it.
But I mean, like, also, like I said, like, every single time that we've talked about Concord, like, how do you bury your head in the sands and, like, release that game in this day and age at, like, even $40, you know? Like, in a crowded market of hero shooters. Like, I just don't understand how that happens.
That are free to play.
Yeah.
They've got to market that to the free to play. I'm sorry. I know Sony is so big on the dollar right off the kick, you know, right off the bat.
Yeah.
They want to see, you know, somebody buy their game. And that's what they get for their single player game. But this is not a single player game. If they want to compete, they've got to be in the market. And that's one of the reasons they failed.
Well,
that's just one, though.
Here's my problem, though, too, is that like that first trailer that they released during that State of Play or whatever made it seem like it was going to be a single player game, or at least like a story driven game, because it like had that whole cinematic with them like doing a theft or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and then the other team tries to steal it away from them and then they get it back. And then like, you know, it had like a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe. You have all these interesting characters. And then the second trailer plays right after that and it's all PvP like hero shooter stuff. It's like, well, wait a second. These are like two different like visions for this. Like, how on earth did you plan on merging these together? Like, it almost seemed like kind of like they were planning on like trying to do the Quantum Break thing. But Remedy is like one of the best studios out there, I think, when it comes down to like trying new things and being innovative. And they couldn't even really pull that off with Quantum Break, you know? So I mean,
Quantum Break was ambitious and didn't quite, you know, get probably where they wanted to, but I mean, it's still a lot of fun. Totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Concord. I mean, the fact that though that they would be so quick to turn on it, though. I mean, I get it. People didn't like it, but to be like after investing that so much, and then they're just gonna like pull it off or like cancel it.
And I don't know how much I believe these numbers. These numbers seem insane, like $400 million into development. Like over 8 years, okay, sure, that breaks it down somewhat, but that's still $50 million a year or whatever. Like, that's a lot to pour into a game that was essentially a PvP shooter that, like, there's a bunch of those that have been made for way less, you know? I mean, I don't know. And I don't necessarily see where the money went unless it was all on those cinematics. And, like, those cinematics, how many did they make then? That they only showed, like, two of them before, like, shuttering the game, you know? I don't know.
Which is, but, which is still like, okay, would you not let your game pan out? Like, well, you're going to kill it right off the bat?
Yeah. Like, one of the weeks you were gone, we actually talked about this a little bit, and I'm like, man, like, Microsoft with Sea of Thieves, with Grounded, with Fallout 76, you know, they're just letting their games cook for a bit, you know? Like, hey, this game might not be popular at launch, but guess what? It's on Game Pass. People will play it there. Like, we can wait a little bit and see how it pans out and, you know, like, give it a year or so. They gave Redfall a year. You know, to like try to like get fixed or whatever. And I like Microsoft's been overly generous, I feel like, in terms of that. And I'm really happy they have because been, a bunch of those games have like actually like gotten better, you know, like
A lot like, you know? Sea of Thieves is in a crazy different place than it was when we first played it in like alpha and beta.
Man.
Like, yeah, it's changed so much. I mean, granted, there's, you know, there's always still some issues with any live service or multiplayer game, you know, with multiple players and with different patches, you know, that's just the nature of the beast, but yeah, it's come so far and it's a lot of fun to jump in. I mean, you feel like what they wanted you to feel when you're playing that game, you know, it's just crazy how far it's come. And same thing with like, wait, Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Like that, which, that game
completely different, like almost a completely different game. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally different than what they originally envisioned, but they were, you know, they listened to the fans, they listened to feedback. It feels like a Fallout game from what, like, I've played, you know?
And I love when developers do that, but they have to be given the chance to do that. You know, like, I mean, like Destiny 1 was rough when it started, because they had that second screen stuff and like open-ended missions and like, you know, like you kind of had to find your own way around and stuff. And like, I thought that was really cool, except for none of that being available in the actual game in terms of the lore and like the story and stuff. Like, you having to go to a second device kind of sucked, but otherwise, super ambitious vision that was really cool in concept and just wasn't executed quite well. And guess what? They listened to their fans. They fixed it. They changed it, you know? Like, same with all the other games I've mentioned. Like, I mean, like, shoot. It's just, it's, you gotta give the team a chance to, like, try to make those changes. Like, even Redfall, right? Like, really bad place and everything. Like, never quite got, like, put into a good place by the devs. But they were given a year to try to bring it around. Like, that's a lot of time to try to.
Yeah, and I think they were, at some point, you know, you have to see if people just be receptive to it. I think that's part of it. They were, you know, they made some changes, and at the end, you know, it may not have been what they'd hoped for, but they still left it in a good way, I feel like, you know. It's still in a playable state, you know.
And that's the thing, too. Like, you can go back to Redfall and play it right now, you know. Like, I mean, they are not taking the servers offline, you know. They're not actively working on it, but even Avengers might still be playable. I don't know. I haven't tried, but, like, you know, Anthem is still playable. Who plays that, you know, man? I mean, like, I keep on saying that, but I haven't dove into Anthem in a while, so I should probably check them one time.
Yeah, I mean, it probably still is.
Probably still. I mean,
They've got one dusty server in the back, and
that's the thing. Yeah, like, I mean, like, we're talking about these giant companies. That's the thing that always gets me about this. Like, with live service, like, how much does that extra space on like a server cost you if you already have the servers, you know? Like, I get like being an indie dev and being like, oh, I can't support like this game that has almost no audience anymore. I get that, you know. Servers can be pretty expensive for an indie studio. But, like, when you're a giant studio, like Sony or Microsoft or Amazon Games or whoever,
when
you know, I mean, like,
when you own EA, a server closet, you know,
right,
the whole room and everything, you know, it's just like, well, it's just a little bit of storage there, right? At that point, right?
That would be my assumption, but like, I mean, shoot, I'm not on that side of tech, so I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, like,
I mean, when you have that many, it wouldn't be that much. It's more of like, oh, we just don't want to mess with it. I think that's what it is sometimes. Yeah. It's like, you know what?
Can always just like say like, hey, guess what? We're not going to touch it anymore. You know, we're just going to leave it, you know, like the team for Redfall did, like the team for Anthem for Avengers did. Like, hey, we're not even going to do maintenance is what the team for Avengers said. You know, like we're just, we've supported this game for a while. Nobody's really playing it. It didn't take off. We're just gonna stop touching it entirely. If it goes down, it goes down. But like, you know, we're not gonna like turn it off, you know?
Yeah. Well, I respect that. And I also feel like games, you know, like that, at least do what Redfall did. You know, I would appreciate, you know, just be able to go back and be able to experience those games in single player if the servers are turned off, you know? And at least I mean, make it to where you could play it, you know?
I don't want to make this cast all about Concord again, but, like, also, why not go free-to-play, you know? Like, I mean, like...
That's my thought. Like, originally, like, from the get-go, how their marketing team not say, okay, this is what we got to do to be competitive?
Put it on PlayStation Plus, you know, at least, you know?
Or I mean, something like that, yeah. Yeah. Because that would actually help, you know, subscribers to want to, you know, do that as well. Give them another reason to be a PlayStation fanboy. But also, the whole thing of, like, the market of a free-to-play. Like, maybe it's just the whole concept of, oh, okay, we got all these single-player games. We want to make our multiplayer on that level. Because people are paying, you know, $60-$70 for these titles like Horizon Zero Dawn or God of War. And Sony has done so well with those, you know, with any of their usual normal first party titles that are their exclusives, you know, Spider-Man, you know, to name just a few, The Last of Us, you know, so many good ones, right? And I think it's just hard for them to see the bird's eye view when it comes to that game. I think they just missed the mark because they're just so used to like, everything working, you know, I guess in a way.
Well, like, I mean, like, shoot, they didn't have a miss for so long, right? Like, they just kept on churning out hit after hit after hit of, like, AAA incredible games. Like, I would probably get a little bit, like, egotistical, too. Like, if I was just writing bestseller after bestseller after bestseller and, like, you know, like, oh, hey, I can put out anything, you know? I mean, essentially, you know?
Sure. I mean, why not? But at the same time, you got to be careful, which was, you know, honestly, I'm sure they're learning from. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. But I still don't see how they didn't see the writing on the wall. Like, this should be a free-to-play game and go off of that. Because then they could have learned from that. Like, even if the launch wasn't great, they could have said, okay, this is free to play, we're going to continue to work on it, we're going to improve and make something that you will love and want to come back and play and be our multiplayer PlayStation game. But no, they just like, we're done, we're taking it off. Like, is it actually playable? I think it's done. Is it off now?
No, they took it completely down. Yeah, issued refunds, the whole shebang. Like, it's no longer playable.
Crazy.
Yeah. Like delisted it, like, almost, like literally didn't even give it, like, barely 2 weeks.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't. I feel bad for the devs on that, you know?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, especially since everyone who played it seemed to like it, you know? It seemed like a quality game. It just, like, bad time, bad market, bad price point, bad execution on, like, anything in terms of the marketing, like, yeah, just a lot stacked up against it, like the Anthem problem again, you know? I mean,
yep. Well, I mean actually it kind of brings up, like, okay, what would happen if Anthem would have been free to play, you know?
Yeah, I mean, makes you kind of wonder. I don't know, like, because the problem with Anthem was just that there was like no, like, nothing to do after you beat the campaign, right? Like, that end game, like, just roaming around in free roam was, you know, fun for a bit, but eventually kind of got old. It was pretty monotonous.
Yeah, they really, like, they didn't even stuff the store with things to buy, you know?
Right. And that was the problem too.
One of the biggest things,
so I can do boring, monotonous activities to like grind for money to like spend in this store that's stacked with really cool stuff. But like when there's hardly anything in there and it's like five items or whatever, and they're all ridiculously expensive. Yeah. And like they're not quality items, then what am I doing then? You know, like, I mean, I have to do something that I don't necessarily love doing. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have at least marketed some things you could buy with money, you know, too, like to help themselves out.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you? That's a no brainer for everybody. I think maybe because they were off the cuff of the whole, it was right after the whole EA, you know, Battlefront 2 debacle thing.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, no microtransactions. You know how long everybody waited? Like, EA got some real big flack. But now it's open market. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's the problem, too. Like, I mean, Netflix got some flack for the password sharing crackdown, but ultimately, people still stayed subscribed or subscribed themselves, you know, and like pushed up those numbers. And like, now everybody's kind of starting to do it. And it's like, well, that's what happens when you open the door. Sometimes you're the first one in, you get shot as soon as you enter the room, but like, the door's open now, you know? I mean,
yeah. Now it's free. Rain for everybody. I mean, you look at Fortnite, you look at Apex, any games like that, they're free to play games, obviously, but you know, if people care enough about the franchise or the game, they will continue to come back. So I mean, that's what it comes down to.
But I mean, like, the market's just also constantly changing, right? Find myself like constantly, like, the whole PS5 Pro thing would have been a total normally thing, like, to do like last gen or the gen before, but now it's weird, you know? I mean, part of it is software isn't driving the hardware, but like part of it too is just like we live in a different age, you know? There's so much crossover between this gen and last gen right now, and like next gen is probably going to be even worse in that regard, you know? Like,
point at what, $700?
Yeah.
That, I mean, who can afford that? Really, like, that is such a huge investment. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Take out a loan? I don't know. I'm not saying $700,
this before publicly, so I think I'm okay saying it on the podcast. I took out a withdrawal from my 401k to buy like my PS5, Xbox Series X, and my new PC. Okay, like, I mean, I don't recommend someone do that, but like, that's what I had to do to be able to afford all that. Like,
yeah, I mean, and that's not, that was three different devices, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
we're talking about one device.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even know what next gen looks like. And I'm like, it's kind of like everyone's like hating on Microsoft for like, you know, being pretty different in the way that they're approaching gaming and putting their games everywhere and all that. And like trying to like kind of sell a platform, like their service as a platform, as opposed to like the hardware as a platform, which I do think that they're moving towards. Like, I was skeptical about it at first, like especially with what they'd come out and say about it. But, like, the more and more moves they make in that direction, the more and more it seems pretty clear that this is direction. Like, actions always speak louder than words when it comes down to it. And, like, their behavior definitely seems to indicate that they aren't as concerned about console sales anymore. I mean, I just read a stat today. They're outsold by PlayStation overall. We talked about, like, previously, like, in a certain quarter they were being outsold, like, 5-1. Overall, they're still being outsold 3-1. Which is pretty big numbers to, like, be down by. It's different than, like, I would have guessed from that one quarter that we talked about. But, I mean, like, you know, it's still pretty far behind PlayStation.
I want to know,
especially when you have two different consoles, you know? Uh-huh, and one's at a way lower price point, you know? Like, I mean, you would have thought that that might have helped.
What's the stats for North America, though?
That's a good question.
I would like to know that. You know? Yeah. It's unfair to calculate certain regions just because, you know, obvious region.
Well, that said, but like, I mean, like, that said, like, you could also say, like, PlayStation shouldn't necessarily, like, count United States sales then. You know, I mean, like, because Microsoft is an American company, even though PlayStation sells tremendously well here. You know, I mean, like, that's a sword that could cut both ways when it comes down to it.
I would just like to know, I don't know. I just like to see the different numbers for sure, because it's a big thing when you can't bridge the gap of other countries. Xbox has had trouble, you know, getting over there, in China and Japan, as much as, you know, so that's where Sony's based. So it makes sense. Right. It totally makes sense, but there's also a lot more people over there.
But them also, moving away from, focusing so much on hardware and, trying to build something bigger than that might actually pay off here, you know? Because, we're looking at an era where it's harder and harder to get these consoles prices down, apparently. That's at least, judging by the PS5 Pro's price, you know?
Obviously.
And we're not seeing the software push the hardware the same way that we have in previous generations. At this point, maybe it's a good thing to kind of be innovating in that space and moving away from traditional models. Maybe Microsoft has the right idea there. It's still a huge risk, but maybe it will end up being the way to go. This is almost like how they envisioned the Xbox One generation to go with digital game sharing, which we brought up last week, where it's they're constantly trying to change the game a little bit, and innovate.
Which is good. You gotta be innovative on your toes.
Not as much as in Nintendo. Nintendo's playing an entirely different game.
On a different plane. Yeah. they're playing a totally different game, which is, there's a market for it. And, I'm sure they're doing well, and I do like Nintendo Switch for what it is. And the games, the first part, all the first IPs, that they do, I love it. I mean, I really like all the art styles and stuff they're doing. Uh-oh. I think we just lost David. Hello? Hello?
David. Sorry, I clicked the wrong button. I clicked the wrong button. I'm back. I'm back.
Where were we? which is smart for Xbox, but I think what they're trying to do is make sense of the new market and things that are coming, plus their acquisition. They're trying to balance all this and all the different things that are going on. And if they can control things a little differently, they don't have to worry about hardware. Like you said, they probably are trying to play that other game like they have for years with Windows. Right?
Right. Yeah.
They're worried about sales when it comes down to it, profits. And I guarantee that's what they're trying to do.
Well, and I can't even think about what a next generation looks like. A traditional next generation, I think, would be a complete waste of money. When it comes down to it, PS6 and Xbox Series, whatever, the next generation of that, what do you push? We're kind of already tapped out at graphics, at least with what games are coming out now. It would essentially just be the exact same. Right? Yeah. We're not seeing anything push the hardware right now. So wait. I just don't know.
1 second. Johnny's in the audience. I just want to point that out. Johnny, what are you doing? Why aren't you
It's like when someone calls out from work and still shows up, to shop or whatever.
Right. Yeah. You're just viewing in the background, lurking. he's probably hey, guys, look. My two friends are doing the podcast without me.
So one thing that got announced by Reuters actually this week was that apparently Intel lost the bidding war against Xbox for the chips in the next generation of PlayStation. So AMD has that contract, allegedly. And Intel's response to that seems to indicate that that's definitely the case, right? AMD definitely won that contract. So what does that mean also for instance, things like backwards compatibility? Because PlayStation has always had Intel chips in the previous, or at least the previous console did, PS5. Will PS5 games be playable on PS6 if it's using a completely different chipset? I don't know. There's a lot of questions about that.
That's true. That's true.
And what does that mean for prices, too? Because, I don't know. I can't imagine PS6 coming out without backwards compatibility. I don't think that'll happen. But
I think there's been a lot of there's been a lot of rumors. I think that they're trying to, you know, push that a little bit more. Kind of like, you know, again, if it wasn't like, for Microsoft, like, you know, bridging the gap or making 100%. The way. You know, and so I think we'll see more of that. And I mean, I would love to see that. I'm more of an Xbox fanboy, as most people know, but I definitely want to see some of those PlayStation titles from old come back, you know, be able to play for sure.
Man, as much as I hate on PlayStation Plus compared to Xbox Game Pass, PlayStation Plus does have more games. And a big, huge reason of that is backwards compatibility from like the previous four generations. Like, and granted, they can't get all the PS3 games working because of, like, you know, certain, like, technical limitations. But, like, their library of backwards compatibility, I would say, is actually probably bigger than Xbox's. I don't know about better, but, I mean, that would probably be a more subjective question.
Yeah, they've definitely worked way harder than they've, you know, they've started doing that. And, again,
And they wouldn't have without Xbox, you know?
Exactly. I mean, like, it kind of falls on Xbox to kind of push, you know, push the industry to that way. And, you know, and again, everybody's like, you know, PlayStation, you know, they're so great. Xbox, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't feel that way at all. But, you know, whatever they're doing for Xbox as a whole, you know, they're probably... They usually have pretty good ideas, you know, for the most part. There are some things I do question, and there's some things they've had to learn the hard way. But I think we're in a good spot, at least for now, you know. And I'm excited to see the future of Xbox, see what they end up doing. I'm not so worried about the hardware anymore. I think so many people are, but I really am not, I guess.
Well, and again, the Series X isn't getting pushed at all to its limits, really. Like, besides maybe some people, including me, I guess, experiencing some slight overheating issues or whatever. But I mean, like, when it comes down to it, like, graphically and, like, technology-wise, like, we don't really need a next-gen console right away. Like, so why not innovate, like, do things like the Xbox handheld, you know? Or, like, you know, maybe Xbox VR someday, you know, like wireless VR. That'd be
cool. Why not? What you were saying earlier about, like, we don't really need to push. I mean, there is probably a little bit, but still we're at the level where we're not like pushing all our hardware. I mean, that is the next level, because games are getting fairly realistic. Let's be honest. They're getting really realistic. And I mean, there's always more to push, obviously, to getting, you know, to the next level. I get that, but VR kind of is in some ways more the next level, right?
I mean,
in a general,
yeah, you're not wrong there. Yeah,
aspect,
I,
you know,
I wonder though, like, it's so hard to tell though too where the limits of like technology like are specifically with like graphical fidelity and how real it looks, because I would have said like some of the games on my N64 were like, oh my gosh, it looks so lifelike, you know? And I mean, like,
it's true.
When you it first came out, now it's like, and now, whoa. Exactly. It's now it's like, wow, okay. So I don't necessarily, like, I guess when we can see, like, actual things being nailed across the board, like water, fire, you know, fire is extremely hard to do, right? Or like hair physics, which, have you seen anything about Veilguard with its hair physics?
I can't say that.
Oh my gosh, that is the most next gen thing I think I've ever seen. Where like Dragon Age Veilguard, like the hair actually seems to like flow and like push over the shoulders and look like real hair being moved by like the breeze or whatever, or by the motion of the head. It's like, and it's such a weird like little thing that like no one's been able to do. And so like,
but that's the next level. It's doing those things that seem real because they're real. You don't pay attention to them because they look real.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's doing it, the finer details in the background so well that it seems lifelike.
Right.
And that's what you expect on a day-to-day basis. It's like, you don't, you know, you go outside and you just expect it to be exactly the way it is. You don't like, I mean, sometimes with photography and things like that, but still, you just expect it to be what it is because it's real. You know?
Well, and like, I mean, like, you and I both love Outlaws to death, right? But like, Outlaws doesn't have best graphics in some areas, you know, like the grass, there's waves a little bit, but it's not like, you know, like super realistic or whatever, you know, it's not like Ghost of Tsushima or something. I mean, like,
yeah, and I expect that a little bit more with open world games, you know, and you know, a little bit more.
Well, that's my thing too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is like with how big that game is and how massive each area is that gets loaded in. I wouldn't necessarily expect it to look that way. But also, I mean, like, maybe we'll get to the point where it does. Maybe that's where the focus will be. But that also seems like such a weird thing to, like, place so much focus on. Like, really? Yeah. That's what we're going to... Well, like, people... I mean, like ray tracing was also kind of a weird thing to place so much focus on, you know?
Yeah, people like, want to focus on the things that sometimes aren't the best that the game brings to the table. They just want to say, you know, and they want to... you know, die on that hill. Like, oh, this game's just terrible because it doesn't do this. But what about all the other things it's doing right?
Right, exactly. And I mean, like I said about all of us before, like, a game is really the sum of its parts, not just, like, each part added together. Which sound like they're the same thing, but when it comes down to it, greater than the sum of its parts is what I mean to say. Like, I mean,
Speaking of Outlaws, yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed... every moment, like all these visual cues for me is like, oh, I know this place. Oh, this is awesome. This is new. I don't know about this. You know, this is just little things like that.
Yeah.
I'm having a blast. I mean, honestly, I've been gone and I need to get back into it. I really do. It's kind of it's on my list. I need to play more. I need to play more Star Wars Outlaws. So
maybe like, what else is on your list? Like in any Warhammer games on your list?
Yeah. Well, somebody texted me a couple, it was like last week or something like that. It's like, hey, you want to hear about this awesome co-op game that's on Game Pass?
And it wasn't
on Game Pass. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get that. We'll play next week.
Yeah.
Oh, a couple days later, not on Game Pass.
No, I was wrong about that. But also,
that
like, the previous, I think the previous two or three Warhammer games have been on Game Pass. So, like, I mean, I guess
makes sense. Yeah. A little assumption there, but
yeah.
I literally looked at that and was, my heart sunk. I was like, oh man, I'm in this place right now where I probably, you know, should wait. You know, unfortunately, it's just how things go, ebbs and flows, you know, with finances. But hopefully soon I can get that game and we can play it for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have it yet?
Like, Space Marine 2 looks pretty cool, and like, it's gotten a lot of cool reviews, and I think it's the first Saber Interactive game to come out since they split from what's the name of that studio? Embracer
Group. Oh man, I was reading about it today. Yeah.
Embracer Group. Yeah.
Embracer. So,
yeah. Formerly THQ Nordic. Back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah,
I know those guys. Yeah, then.
Yeah, crazy. And now I think it's actually called something else. Shoot, what is Embracer's new... Because they split into like three
Saber.
Different...
Yeah. Oh, is it...
Oh, no. Yes. Saber separated. They left.
Yeah. Did you hear... So real quick, when you're talking about Saber, I read about that today, that there still is hope.
Yes, I did see something about that. Yeah.
Old Republic remake.
So, after Saber left, Embracer Group reorganized into three different groups: Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. So it just split into three different companies. I don't know. It's probably so that they can throw other stuff in that Middle Earth Enterprises thing.
But
besides
also,
Lord of the Rings.
It's like Friends, Coffee, yeah. Friends. It's like, are we going to the local coffee shop? You know, I don't know. It's fine, you know. It maybe that gives that indie feel. I don't know.
But I mean, like that. I think they were just getting so much backlash as Embracer Group that they decided to like reorganize. I'm sure part of it has to do with like they were also supposed to get that like $2 billion partnership deal or whatever, and they didn't.
You were completely white there for a second, like with your screen that you're on. You're like this is a visual bit.
I can't help how Irish I am.
No, you were completely whitewashed. Like the whole screen was white. That's the visual bit for this podcast. You know, you guys can't see it, but I surely can.
But yeah, and Saber Interactive, can hear. It turns out, somehow still retained the rights to that, the Old Republic remake, which was kind of shocking to me, or whatever. And, like, so there's still hope for it, is what I read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that, like, they're still apparently working like, on it.
There's still hope, and they're...
Yeah. Which is super
exciting.
We'll
see what happens. Maybe in a couple more years, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe in a couple more years. So, yeah.
Like, do you mean like 10?
Yeah. Well, you just never know. I mean, when you talk about games like Final Fantasy, I mean, you just never know. They could still happen.
It'll be available on the PS7, which will retail at $1,000.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll top it. I think that's the next move for Xbox. They said 700. We're going to top it. We're going to make our console worth 800, okay, on Xbox.
Yeah.
Because we got to top them, even though we're not selling as many units. Anyways. Do you have Warhammer?
No, I do not have it yet. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, we need to figure that out and do that. And maybe when we do, we can go over that on the podcast.
I'm curious what will be announced at the Tokyo Game Show next week. I really don't know. Probably some Final Fantasy stuff. Rumors are that it won't be a remake and it won't be Rebirth. But it'll be like 16 and some other stuff. But, like, there's probably more than that. And Xbox has a digital showcase there. And I'm really curious what'll be in that. I forgot about that. And I'm really curious. Like, Phil Spencer actually made an announcement. Like, hey, you might want to tune in to our digital showcase at Tokyo Game Show. I don't know that he's done that before for the Tokyo Game Show. I feel like they always have, like, somewhat of a presence there. But, like, I feel like it's usually, like, you know, kind of like... a mid-tier kind of like, you know, like, hey, here's some more, like, Japanese RPGs and stuff, and, like, you know, like, we're partnering with our friends here, and, like, I think, maybe, possibly, was it there, or was it at, the Game Awards, where OD by, Kojima got announced?
I think it might have been Game Awards.
It might have been Game Awards.
There might have been, like, you know, like, a teaser... like there, and then they unveiled the rest of it at Game Awards.
Oh, that's probably what it was probably like, oh, hey, we're working on a new project we've never done before or whatever, like, that's going to be different from anything else that we've ever done with Xbox.
I think that's
and
what
then,
they did.
And then announce OD like a couple months later. Yeah, that makes sense.
Then, and then they really went into it in the Game Awards, and I'm pretty excited to see what they've got going on with that game, because it looks, you know, something crazy, you know, something good.
Kojima makes very unique games when it comes down to it, and he's very good at what he does. And so,
when it comes down to it, for a game like that, the games that he makes, that's what you want. You don't want the same. You want something 100%. New and something that you experience that, you know, is mind blowing.
Now, speaking this of new won't games, happen. This won't happen. But what would be a crazy thing? We'll get to the new games thing in a second. What would be a crazy thing for Xbox to do at the Game Show Award would be to reveal their handheld? That would be a crazy place.
Xbox,
because,
M.
Like, you wouldn't necessarily think about it because it's Japan, and Xbox doesn't do tremendous in Japan. I feel like their Series S has actually been fairly successful in Japan, but I haven't looked at the numbers or whatever. They've said that they're, like, they have more people who are Xbox users than ever before, and that, like, more people this generation or whatever. So, like, I mean, like, they're still doing pretty well overall.
It might be the
time. But also, like, with the Japanese market being so, like, handheld focused and everything, and being, like, very on the go, I mean, I feel like that would be a fantastic place to, like, kind of, like, surprise announce it, where you're not expecting it. But, like, hey, also, like, hey, announce it now in, like, early October, late September or whatever. Like, yeah, late September. And, like, then it's ready for holiday purchase, you know?
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
That would be fantastic. I don't know that if that'll happen, but...
I don't know if they'd be able to blind drop something that quick without somebody noticing.
Yeah.
But still, like, especially with things...
But, I mean, we all know that handheld exists, you know? Like, I mean, like, it's not like it's a huge secret. Like, I mean, like, it's just a matter of, like, knowing, like,
Phil Spencer's, you know, not really said it directly, but he's definitely looted, and there's definitely been.
If we had a handheld, you'd be able to download games on it. You know, I mean, like, if we had a handheld, you know, it's, I mean, like it would be really cool.
Look over on my shelf; there might be something over there, you know, sort of thing that he likes to do.
Oh, did you see that picture? Like on a tangent to that, real quick, did you see that picture of the? Remember that like rumored like Xbox like you plug into a TV device that was just going to be a streaming thing? Where he apparently had like a small version that looked like a capture card, like kind of size, like a, one of the bigger like kind of like an, you know, like 2010 capture card size or devices or whatever. That like it like apparently he had that on his shelf or whatever, and like they just couldn't get the price down low enough to like really justify releasing it. I appreciate that, honestly. I appreciate them like going, you know what? We did develop this thing, but we can't get the price down enough. We're just not going to do it. Like, I appreciate them like doing that, honestly.
At least being, you know, open and letting people, like when you let some people see something, you kind of need to, if you decide not to do it, kind of, you know, follow up. And I do appreciate that. But it is, it's kind of cool to see that they have that kind of stuff. You know, I really enjoy like the little hidden Easter eggs when they do like those interviews. You always like looking and, you know, oh, what's coming out next? What are they hiding in the background? You know, there's always something, some kind of twist. Hey, have you tried Quidditch Champions? I know that's one of the newer games that's come out.
Oh, that's actually on PlayStation Plus right now as the monthly game that you can download.
That's right. Yeah. So if you're on PlayStation Plus, definitely go over there and download it. Grab it before it's gone.
Yeah, I did like the tutorial or whatever, and it seems pretty cool. I just haven't.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. I have it on Xbox though, you know. So yeah. I guess you only have it on PlayStation.
Is it crossplay?
I don't know.
I feel like it is.
We could try it, and we could let people know next week if it is or not.
Like Baldur's Gate 3.
Right. Speaking of which, you know,
yes, it is crossplay. To our play, actually, Quidditch Champions is crossplay.
Sweet. Yeah. There you go. I'm still going to download it for free on PlayStation, which is not technically free because I'm paying for the monthly subscription, but you know, you get what I mean. What are we doing our playthrough on Fridays, you know?
I think Johnny was hoping to do the next one on this upcoming Friday. I told him, like, hey, if you want to do music instead, like, that's fine. Like, Farmer and I understand, like, you haven't been streaming.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I haven't been streaming a whole lot either, for that matter. Or you, for that matter.
We've all been busy, man. Yeah. We've all been gone, busy, or... Yeah.
But he was like, no, I really want to do it. So, I mean, like, we'll see. If he's able to, like, have the time by then to go ahead and do that, then we will continue our Ambassadors to the Gate, which will be a fun time.
I'm excited.
So far, episode one was fantastic. I really enjoyed it, despite all my technical problems. And now that I have
really
all those ironed out,
I think everything was going pretty well.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I was, yeah, I think we had a pretty good run through, especially with all the choices we were making. I can't wait to see what happens.
Man,
you know?
It's going to be an event for
it's
sure.
It's going to be interesting. And we've got to.
We might all die right at the beginning of next episode. I mean,
we'll just
find
start
out.
Over. You know? Yeah. Oh, well.
Reroll our characters, recreate them.
I don't know. Yeah,
that would be great. That would be like
it's just game over. It's just done. Yeah. The story is over.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's like the other guys, you know, which starts off with like Dwayne Johnson and Samuel Jackson. And they jump off the roof or whatever, and they land on the pavement and they die. And then it's like, oh, it's not about these guys at all. Okay. Like, mean,
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you thought these were the main characters? Nah. But we had you captivated there for one episode.
For 15 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, psych. Yeah. Segue. Have you played the new Astrobot game that came out on the 6th?
I have not purchased it yet. Nah.
I know
maybe my next check. Maybe.
I know the Astrobot game that, you know, came with the PlayStation is phenomenal. So
it really is.
I'm
yes.
so glad that they did this into a full fledged game. I can't wait to like go through.
Oh
this
my
platform.
Gosh! And like so it's many people be have good. Been like saying like it's like, I mean, I'm not a huge Mario guy. I'm not a huge platformer. But so many people have been comparing it. So many people who are platformers, who play a lot of platformers have been comparing it to like the best platformers out there. Like Super Mario Galaxy, I think, is one of like the most critically acclaimed games out there. For it to get like those accolades from people who are such huge fans of those games, like, I mean, that's really cool. Like, and I mean, Astrobot's just a fantastic character. I know people don't like his design. Those people are insane. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with his design? He's cute and he's fun. And I think those people can cry all they want. They're wrong.
Well, like the argument is that it's kind of generic or whatever. And like, I don't think so. I can't think of another robot who looks like that.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's great. I think it works really well. And then I've also heard like people complain about like some of the bosses he fights or whatever being like, you know, not name worthy or whatever, or like having personalities and stuff. And I could maybe see that, but again, I haven't played the game yet, so I don't know. But I mean, like, yeah, I'm really excited to play it. I saw actually someone else playing it. Melted Sunshine Tweety Bird, I think, who seemed to be having a great time there. And it looks great. It looks fantastic. It looks big.
Yeah, I can't
it looks
wait like to, there's a lot of levels. I can't wait to play that game.
You know, I mean, now that Johnny's not here, we don't have to worry about him right now.
Yeah, that's right. He's not here in the audience he's anymore. Not here. Because
yeah, yeah. So we can talk. Like, we can talk about. Yeah, we can talk about Starfield.
All right, let's do it. They've added quite a few different things from what I've read.
And on September 30th,
can turn to 8 days Starfield from now again.
The first expansion comes out.
Yeah, let's go.
And this, I got the is now deluxe Starfield edition. I think official. You did too, right? Did you get
I can't remember what I got.
The one that allowed you to play like 3 days early or whatever?
I'm sure I did. Yeah, I totally got
that. I think we both did. And so it's included in that, so I don't even have to pay a dime. And like, I'm really excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. We're turning this whole podcast back around to Starfield. I'm telling you, right after that releases, Johnny's going to be hit on the side. He'll not know what has hit him because it's 2-3, right? And we'll just ambush him. He won't listen to this anyways, right? So we'll be good.
I don't know how it's two against three.
two against one.
Three out of 3 billion.
Two of us wow, and players. One of him. And he's the third. Okay, let's make this one. Yeah. We're the two. He's the third. He's the three. Johnny, it's equivalent of three people we've just confirmed.
But three dwarves, so we can take him. So I mean, when it comes down to it. I think that wraps it up kind of nicely, and I think Craig agrees.
Yeah, I think that's a great spot to end it. Guys, thank you guys for coming out and listening to NAP Podcast, and we'll catch you next week, right?
Yeah, I think this is episode 6 of season 4, so we're getting up there.
Crazy.
Yeah,
it's been really wild. It's been a crazy good time, and we've almost hit the year mark before too long. I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there for sure. We'll have to do something special for that.
You definitely will. I'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.